Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our text this morning, Ruth finds favor in the field of Boaz. That word favor is repeated three times in our scripture reading, in verse 2 and then again in verse 10, verse 13. It's a word that may also be translated acceptance or even grace. Sometimes it's rendered that way. That's what Ruth looks for. That's what she seeks as she goes out to glean. That's what she finds. And that's what she values. Favor. She finds favor, acceptance, gracious dealings in the eyes of Boaz, in his sight is the language that's used. She finds favor in his way of seeing her, his way of looking at her, his way of speaking to her, and the way he treats her. Now, this would be a beautiful story, even if it were simply appreciated on that level of human relationships, in which, as the expression goes, the milk of human kindness flows freely. A beautiful account of gracious behavior on the part of Boaz towards Ruth. But we know that it's far more than a story about human relationships, human kindness and goodness. We know that it's even far more than hints of better things yet to come in the relationship between Boaz and Ruth. We may see our God at work. We may see the author of all grace at work, the sovereign Lord, the Savior. See, he is revealing himself in this passage. He's making all things work together for good, for Naomi, for Ruth, for Boaz, for the church. We see a revelation of God as a God of grace, even hints and foreshadowings of the saving work of our God in this passage before us. So we consider how that unfolds in the story, beginning with our attention to a remarkable providence. Boaz is introduced in verse 1. It says, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth. Now, those words, a man of great wealth, are words, or a word particularly, that is rendered in different ways in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's rendered a man of valor, or a man of might. It has that latitude of meaning. It may refer to Boaz as a man of military strength and power, a man of valor in that way. Or a man of wealth, he certainly was that. Or a man of moral valor. The word has that broad meaning to apply to these various nuances. Perhaps they all are relevant. They all describe Boaz. He certainly was an important man. And we're introduced to the fact of his importance here in the story. And we're also told that he's a relative of Naomi. And that's important. In fact, it's mentioned again in the next verse that he was of the family of Elimelech, or in verse 3, because that's very significant to this story. And so Boaz is introduced in the first verse, and then there's a switch. The attention is then given to Ruth. And we read how Ruth takes a kind of initiative in verse 2, where she says to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. Now, whether Ruth knew the law, what she was requesting is actually provided for in the law of God. There are a number of passages that make clear that Israel, when they reaped their fields, they were not to take everything. They were to be careful. Not to make sure they got everything, but they were to be careful to leave something behind. In Leviticus 19, for example, we read in verse 9 and 10, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God." Or in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19, "When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." Whether she realized it or not, Ruth qualifies on a number of points. She's a foreigner. She's a widow. She's poor. And she has a right, actually, to go into the fields and to take the leavings, the gleanings that were deliberately left behind for such people as herself. And so, according to God's law, it was not simply a matter of finding someone who would show favor to her and be gracious to her, but rather, it was a matter of right. It was a matter of righteousness in the eyes of a gracious God who cared for the poor, who in his law made provisions for their supply. Ruth takes the initiative to provide for herself and for Naomi in this way of gleaning, gathering grain, so that they would have food to eat. And then we're told that she happened to come on that part of the field that belonged to Boaz. She happened to come there. Ruth had no idea whose field she was in. We know that she asked permission in verse 7 to glean there. But there was nothing intentional about her going to this particular field. From her side of things, we might say it was a rather random event that she happened to be in that field that belonged to Boaz. But of course, the inspired author of this story knows better. Certainly the Holy Spirit who inspired this story knows better. It was not simply a happenstance. It was not simply something that willy-nilly took place. In fact, there's a kind of delightful irony, actually, in the very language. She happened to come to the field that belonged to Boaz. There's a use of language that actually points to the exact opposite. Because we know that nothing ever just happens with God. There are no just happens at all in his world. None of you just happened to have met your spouse. No one just happens to be in a serious automobile accident. No one just happens to get a very dark medical diagnosis. No one just happens to have a healthy child or a handicapped child. No one just happens to be where lightning strikes or not. A friend of mine recently was very close to a lightning strike that would have taken his life if he were much closer. It's not luck. It's not something that just happened. We're reminded of a sovereign Lord. And the sovereign Lord here is arranging a meeting. Using the actions of others, using Naomi's initiative, she's going to go out and seek to provide for herself. She's not going to wait around and hope that somebody gives to her. She takes initiative. She asks permission. Naomi gives permission. She goes to the field. She gets permission to glean there. But all the while, God is working. God is arranging a meeting. And it's a meeting of just tremendous importance and significance for the history of redemption. It's a meeting that we know will lead to a marriage. It's a meeting that we know will lead to a royal line. King David, all the way down to Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, to whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. A meeting of tremendous significance. She happened we read, to come to that portion of the field that belonged to Boaz. We don't know if the inspired author smiled as he wrote those words, but it's certainly worth a smile of pleasure and delight for us who are reminded of a sovereign God who works today and who works with unfailing purpose in ways that we cannot trace in our own lives. We cannot see the big picture. We cannot see all the things that God accomplishes very often through the most apparently insignificant things that take place. And it's likewise true that these things that take place in our life are not written down in the inspired Word of God for generations to read in years to come and reflect upon His work. And those things that happen in our life are of not such tremendous significance as this event in the history of redemption. And yet, in those apparently insignificant details of life, God is accomplishing His purpose. God is accomplishing things that will bring glory to His name, that will advance the salvation of all His elect. And one day, I'm sure, it will be seen that God's wondrous works will be celebrated, and that celebration will continue through all eternity. And the great pleasure of the life to come, one of them certainly, will be to trace God's wonderful works in this world, in which all the complex and intricate events of this world, down to their detail, will be seen and celebrated as remarkable providence, whereby God is carrying out His purpose. She happened to come to that field that belonged to Boaz, a remarkable providence of great importance. God's work also appears in Boaz. And there are two things that I want to give special attention to in this connection before us this morning. There are two things that stand out in his conduct towards Ruth. First of all, there's the provisions that he gave to her. And then secondly, the protection that he secured for her. See the gracious provision in this passage before us. In Psalm 129, there's a description of the wicked. And it says of them that they will be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, "The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord." The combination of imagery here sounds like an allusion to this passage in the book of Ruth, where we have the gathering of sheaves. But even more significantly, we have this exchange as Boaz enters his field and says, "The Lord be with you," and they answer him, "The Lord bless you." How's that for labor and management relationships? It's a beautiful picture, isn't it, of a God-centered view of life that is reflected even in the kinds of greetings that are exchanged by people. And it's obvious, isn't it, that Boaz was an attentive man. He was attentive to the well-being of his workers. And in that attentiveness, he also noticed an unfamiliar servant girl gleaning behind them. "Whose young woman is this?" he asks his servant. Even the question is interesting. He doesn't simply say, "Who is this?" but "Whose?" Again, indicating his assumption that she's a servant girl, an employee of someone. And the servant answers also in an interesting way when he says, "The Moabite woman, the young Moabite woman who returned with Ruth from Moab." Her story was known. He refers to her specifically. And Boaz immediately begins to take special care for her. He knew that he was related to her when she was introduced in this way. She knew he was related to her dead father-in-law. And he shows a kind of familial or family, even a kind of fatherly care from her from the very beginning. And in that connection, we see how he secured for her special privileges. In verse 8, he secured a place for her in his fields. She could stay there. Stay in my field, he says. Stay with my young women. In verse 9, he says, don't be afraid to share water with my reapers. Water that no doubt had to be carried. We don't know from what distance, but in the heat of the day, in the midst of labor, a precious water supply that she was given free access to, along with his reapers. She was invited to eat along with those reapers. And Boaz himself personally gives to her a good supply of parched corn for her to eat, enough to satisfy her, with plenty left over. As we'll see, she took some home to Naomi. And then he not only allowed her to work among the sheaves rather than following from a distance, but he allowed her to work among them, which would increase the supply of grains that would fall. But he actually instructs the reapers to deliberately, purposely drop grain from their bundles for her to gather. And we see in all these things that he went far beyond the requirements of the law. He doesn't treat her as a charity case, but he treats her as a beloved daughter in God's household. She wasn't merely given her rights as a poor woman, as a sojourner, as a widow, but she was shown grace. And it's grace that flows from the Lord God of Israel. The grace of God reflected in the behavior of this man. We see that likewise in the godly protection that he secured for her. Because Ruth was especially vulnerable. She was vulnerable as a young woman. She was vulnerable as one who was alone, as one who was a foreigner. The young men might think they could take advantage of her in various ways, physically, or that they could bully her, or perhaps mistreat her, insult her. Maybe they would resent the special privileges that she was given, the access that she was given to their water. In view of these possibilities, Boaz takes care to secure her protection. Do not touch her, he says, verse 9. Verse 15 again, do not reproach her. Do not rebuke her. Allow her free access to these privileges without any trouble whatsoever. He warns them against any mistreatment. You see, he showed here another godly characteristic. It's also a godly characteristic that should appeal to young Christian women today. And that is protectiveness. Rather than taking advantage of her in any way, or allowing others to take advantage of her in any way, he would look out for her safety. There was that protectiveness in his treatment of her. And these things, we may see that Boaz is, in effect, being the answer to his own prayer and his own blessing of Ruth. We heard that in verse 12, where he said, the Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Boaz knew that she was a virtuous woman, that she was a woman of faith, that she had shown kindness to her mother-in-law, that she had exhibited conversion in the way she had returned with her to the land of Israel. And he speaks words of blessing upon her. And speaks of God's protection for her. Beautiful language. Under whose wings you have come to for refuge. The picture of little chicks taking refuge from the storm. Or for perhaps from an eagle or a hawk under the wings of a hen. Finding safety there. That's what he prayed for her. And he himself is now, in his own treatment of her, being the answer to his own prayer. As he provides security for her. The Lord is a refuge. The Lord provides safety and security. But he's doing that here. And he's doing that through this protector. This protector who took her under his care. The Lord give a full reward, he says to her. Well, in God's grace, that reward is even coming to her now. As Boaz assures her of provision, as he shows her acceptance, he brings her near, he fills her to satisfaction with wholesome food. Yes, Boaz shows characteristics of a godly man. Characteristics of a godly husband. But it's important that even as we observe Boaz's conduct, we see the providence of God here, caring for Ruth. And we even see something more. We see the kind of care, the kind of provisions. We see the kind of godliness that points to that godliest of men, even our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the heavenly husband of his church, the one who so receives foreigners, those who otherwise are alienated from God, who so receives them and so accepts them, so provides for them, so protects them in his love, as to secure eternal fullness by his grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, who indeed is great, infinitely wealthy, and we might say he provides out of that wealth of his own glory. But how does he do so? By impoverishing himself. By coming into this world. By taking upon himself the form of a servant. The ultimate master. But in order to save and provide for his people, he takes upon the form of a servant. And is obedient unto death. So that we who are otherwise foreigners, estranged from God, might be admitted and brought near as those accepted in the Beloved, washed in His blood, assured of every provision that we need for body and soul. So, yes, in the conduct of Boaz, we are pointed to the grace that receives sinners through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth responded in humility and thankfulness on a number of occasions. In verse 10, she fell on her face, and bowed to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" Verse 13, "Let me find favor." Some renderings, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant. Though I am not like one of your maidservants." She considered herself unworthy of the kindness that she received. And she humbly confesses that. And how she becomes in this respect also a picture of the true church. In its humble gratitude before the Lord for his grace. The grace of salvation. How much more should we respond to that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? With humble thankfulness, true gratitude from the heart. May this beautiful story direct our thoughts to God's providential care, the outworking of His purposes, that comforts us in the present circumstances of our lives. But at the same time, let it point us to the basis for that comfort and assurance, which is accomplished, achieved through that great, 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 great grandson of Ruth and Boaz that we know about. We keep it before us, whose grace and character is dimly displayed also in this meeting and the conduct of Boaz. Amen.